Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Are you thirsting to know the deeper depths of the anointing and the power of God? Today, Dr. Correll will unlock the power of Pentecost, revealed in the secrets of the wheat harvest throughout the Bible. The wheat harvest spiritually signifies the works, the power, and the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Experience what the wheat harvest signifies in the lives of Gideon, Ruth, Samson, and many others throughout the Word of God. You will be amazed at the foreshadowing of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life today. Now, let's join Dr. Correll.
The commandment was three times a year, you will worship me and bring your first fruits. But why would a biblical feast be based around a feast harvest? Is this a reason to have the whole entire nation come and for 7 weeks of preparation for one feast harvest? I want you to know that the wheat harvest prophetically prefigures what happened in Jerusalem 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. 50 days. 40 days prior, after he had been seen for 40 days and 40 nights after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. And his very last words were found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said in verse 4, "But wait for the promise that you have heard of me." Verse 5 says, "John truly baptized you with water," Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." He told them to wait. The end of Luke's gospel, it says, "Wait till you be endued with power from on high." And Jesus said, hallelujah, "But you will receive power after that." Verse 8, "The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me," Acts 1, verse 8, "in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Are you following me, saints? "And for 10 days, they sought God. For 10 days, they prayed until the upper room experience." So the question arises, why did the Holy Spirit choose to come and make his residence here on earth? Say it with me, his residence here on earth. During the wheat harvest. Say it with me, during the wheat harvest. Turn to your neighbor and say, would you like to know what that is all about? Throughout the Bible, whenever we read about the prophets foretelling the work of the Holy Spirit when he's going to come. Let's go for a moment to Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2, verse 24 says, "The floors shall be full of wheat." Say, that's the wheat harvest. Say with me, "The floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with wine and oil." How many of you want the vats to overflow? We didn't say just to be filled up. Overflow means so much of the oil, so much of the wine, both spiritual similitudes of baptism in the Holy Spirit. The floors will be filled with wheat, and the vats are going to overflow with wine and with oil. Prior to this, Joel was prophesying a miracle. He said, "The Lord has given you the former rain moderately. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more moderation. Oh, somebody ought to give God praise. The Lord says, no more moderation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better get ready to unfasten your seatbelt. You know, moderation means something that's moderate is kind of lukewarm. Have you ever been driving in the car and the weather report came on and they said moderate temperature? That means not so burning hot. But the Lord says in Joel chapter 2, verse 24 or verse 23, be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he's given you the former rain moderately. Turn to your neighbor and say, the former rain was just a foretaste of what is about to happen in end times. Come on, somebody. Of what is about to happen in end times. He's given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is going to cause to come down for me personally. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm claiming a revival in my own house. Say this with me. I'm claiming a revival when I drive in my car. I'm claiming a revival when I'm washing my dishes. I'm claiming a revival, hallelujah, when I'm dressing my children. I'm claiming a revival in my home. Somebody ought to say, he's going to cause the former rain to come down for me. He says, I will cause to come down for you. Now watch this. The former rain, tell your neighbor, say, that's Azusa. Oh, my. Former rain, say, those are the revivals I've been hearing about. The former rain, say, that's the charismatic renewal. Say, that's Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Say, that's all the revivals of the 70s. Hello. The former rain and the latter rain. In the first month, tell your neighbor and say together, in the first month, come on. The first month begins in the 49 days of destiny. The harvest, hallelujah, the time of the supernatural sheaves. Somebody ought to say, I'm in that season right now. So that when it happens, you know what it is. You see, God doesn't want us, when the revival comes, to be so uneducated. Now, I'm not talking about being educated in the things of the world. I'm talking about the things of the Spirit. The other day, I heard about a little boy who was so, he was raised in a godly home. He was 11 years old. He sounded like he was 30. He was educated in the things of God. He knew about the anointing because the parents were teaching them. Are you hearing me? Our children were raised like that when they're really little. I remember Papa was so anointed, and he taught them how to follow the anointing, and they loved it. They'd ask him all kinds of things all the time. Because why? The house was filled with the glory. Are you hearing me? If I could share a little secret with you. Many years ago in the 1980s, this is a long time ago, we're having dinner I don't want to say what I used to do, as I don't want to give our personal family away, but we had a certain time as a family every day. And Papa came in at a certain time. And I was putting everything down, and the kids just had the TV on. And Papa was coming in from a ministry. And he opened the door, and he went out. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost hit him. I never saw the Holy Ghost hit him like this. He put up his hand and his finger, and he started rebuking, said, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I was saying, wow, what's going on in the house? And he said, something's in here. And I said, wow, what's going on? I looked. This is, our kids were just little. This is the 1980s. This is not, you know, what we have today. There was something on TV that I didn't, wasn't even paying attention to because I was making, the evening meal. So I just thought they're just watching cartoons or something. You know, they had just come in and oh my goodness. It was someone who ended up being, that was singing and was doing some kind of a commercial or something on the TV. And it was a person who ended up being a very bad example for children. But he knew it when he came in. So our children were raised with that. Like we go to the missions, and JoJo, our son, if he felt a spirit, even in the mission field, he knew. He would say, there's something in here. Something that's not right. Or they'd see. Oftentimes we went to our first crusades. We didn't really have a lot of workers, so our children were the workers. They went out and identified healings. Hello, somebody. I said they went out and they identified healings. There were times that there were people, they'd go stiff in the audience the minute the anointing fell. They were possessed with evil spirits. They had to be carried out. So our children learned at a young age things about the Spirit of God. Are you following me? So children, I'm going somewhere with this. Because children have the ability to know things in the spirit. Are you following me? That 11-year-old that I saw was like an adult in the realm of the spirit. Are you following me? God is going to be pouring out his spirit on our sons and our daughters. And everyone in this place that has children should get ready for their children to have an encounter with God. So supernatural. Lift those babies up right now. Just lift them up. I don't know where they are. This is out of order in the audience. But I want those babies lifted up, the young people lifted up. Come on, raise them up and stand them up. Come on, we're praying that children are gonna prophesy. The children are going to have dreams. And the Bible tells us that the wheat on the floors is the sign of the baptism in the Spirit, that we will know it. This is why Peter on the day of Pentecost knew what was happening, because he compared it with the scripture. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Notice, it says your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to see visions and your young men are going to dream dreams. Now, saints, I just want you to see something before we close here tonight and the healing team comes. How many of you are expecting miracles when the healing team comes? Can you say, I'm expecting a miracle? The Bible tells us, beloved saints, that everywhere throughout the scripture where we see the wheat harvest, we see the wheat harvest beginning in Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 16. And wherever we see symbols of the wheat harvest, we actually see it also in Genesis chapter 30. Wherever we see the wheat harvest, if we look at the action that's being employed and spoken about in the scripture, we will see a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. What happens when one's baptized in the Spirit? The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, that Gideon was threshing wheat and hiding it from the Midianites, and he was called. And Gideon said, I'm the least in my father's house. I want you to know that baptism in the Holy Spirit makes those who should not have been elected, selected by God. That's what baptism in the Spirit does. Turn to your neighbor and say, the least one you expected has been elected. Just like Gideon, who was threshing wheat during, hallelujah, the wheat harvest. Hallelujah. He was called. That's a sign and a symbol, a spiritual similitude of baptism in the Spirit. Let's take another example. Go with me, please, to 1 Samuel very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 6. This is when the Ark of the Covenant returned to the land of Israel with no one driving the Ark. I want you to see it. The Philistines had actually abducted, if you will, the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. I'll read it for you really quickly. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. But look, when it came back, it came back supernaturally. Because wherever the Ark was, damage was coming to the land of the enemy. And after 7 months, turn to your neighbor and say, seven, the symbol of the Spirit. Say this with me, 7 weeks, 49 days of destiny. During the 49 days of destiny, and the Bible says after it was captured, the Bible tells us, watch this, the men of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes, and they saw the ark, and they rejoiced. What does this mean? What spiritual significance is this to us today in 2024? This is a symbol of when baptism in the Spirit happens. Notice the ark returned back into the land. There are some of us that have been void of the presence of God. There are some of us who have not felt the anointing in a long time. But during Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes back into the land. It was during the wheat harvest that the ark returned. Turn to your neighbor and say, during the wheat harvest. Hallelujah. Say a supernatural visitation and miraculous manifestation of God's presence came to Israel during the wheat harvest. Are you with me? So we see two examples of the wheat harvest. Gideon, who should not have been elected at all. He was the least one in his father's house. But we saw during the wheat harvest, the angel brought him the word of the Lord and told him that he was called and chosen. The one that you never suspected has truly been elected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not many wise, not many noble. Oh, praise God. Not those that we would ever think. The Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he has chosen the weak things, the base things, to confound the things that are mighty. There's another example of the wheat harvest. Touch your neighbor and say, I want all God's got for me. Every miraculous manifestation, say it. Every miraculous manifestation of the baptism of the Spirit, I want it now. Come on, I want it now. The Bible tells us, in Judges, go with me to Judges chapter 15. Oh my goodness, something happened to Samson during the time of the wheat harvest. Somebody ought to praise God. Say, it's going to happen to me. Say this with me. What happened to Gideon in the time of the wheat harvest is going to happen to me. What happened to the Ark of the Covenant, I'm going to experience during the wheat harvest. And say this with me. What happened to Samson in the wheat harvest, it's going to happen to me. I'm claiming it. Come on. Let's look at this. Judges chapter 15. The Bible says, and it came to pass after a while, during the time of, let's say that louder, okay? And it came to pass after a while that during the time of the, during the time of the wheat harvest, spiritually significant of what baptism in the Spirit does in our lives. Are you following me? The Bible tells us that Samson started. He started up. He started up an action that would require judgment of God against the Philistines all by himself. One man against an entire nation. Why? Because the children of Israel didn't want to go to war. They liked their bondage. And they said, don't you know the Philistines are rulers over us? Sometimes we like to be ruled over by spirits because we don't want the confrontation of warfare. And that's how the children of Israel were in the time of Samson. That's why he was so strong. But his strength came from a secret. It was the secret of consecration. That he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And the Bible tells us, during the time of the wheat harvest, something very horrific happened to Samson. The Philistines wanted to revenge Samson for catching all of their wheat fields on fire. And they came to take him. And the children of Judah said, don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done? We are their servants. And Samson said, what they did to me, I've done to them. And they said, we are going to bind you up and turn you over to the Philistines. Oh, that was the wrong thing to say to Samson. Hello, I said that was the wrong thing to say to Samson. Some of you right now are going through a time in your life that for serving God, you are experiencing retaliation from the enemy the same way that Samson was. And Samson said to them, the only thing I ask is that when you tie me, you move out of this place. Because he knew the power of God was going to come on him. Do you know why? Uniquely, the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson every time there was a confrontation with the enemy. You know what that shows us? Every time the enemy wages war against you, every time there is a confrontation, God will place upon you a miraculous manifestation of strength. When they tied up Samson's hands, watch what happened. The Bible says, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Some of you, the Philistines are shouting against you right now for what you're doing for the Lord. The Philistines are shouting. They don't want you to go forward. They don't want you to do the work of God. They don't want you to do what the Lord put on your heart to do. They're shouting against you. And you feel like your hands are tied up. What they did was they tied up Samson's hands. And the Bible says they bound him. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily. And the cords that were on his arms became as flax and was burnt with fire. And his bands were loosed off his hands. Say this with me, through baptism in the Holy Spirit. Everything that's binding me, everything that's stopping me, everything that's bound up my ministry is being loosed off by the fire of God. Say this with me, the more fire, the more freedom I get.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button. Or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.